Talk Radio.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Amen, amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank you and thank you for joining us this evening. It is Thursday, August the 27th, 2020. We'd like to thank everyone who called in at 646-668-2636 and maybe listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we should thank everyone for joining you. Those who called in, we see you on the switchboard. If you would like to join the conversation, ask a question, share some insight, share some wisdom, just press one on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. Tonight, we're going to continue a series we're doing on saving marriage, one marriage at a time, talking about some of the issues that affect marriages. In this season, in this time, we're finding that marriage is under attack externally, but tonight we want to talk about internally. We want to talk about couples. We're going to talk about husbands and wives, on how they treat each other, the things on how they deal with stresses and just dealing with each other in their marriage. And tonight we just want to encourage you. We're going to talk about anger in marriage. We're going to hopefully we can find some solution. We want to be able to discuss it, and then hopefully we give some wisdom and accountability that you can be able to deal with this issue in your marriage, that your marriage be prosperous, that your marriage will be long and loving, and just start to develop a closer bond and relationship with your spouse. Amen. We'll move over with prayer, and I have a guest tonight. We're going to bring our guest and introduce them, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. Amen. Amen. Father God, first let me say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for salvation today. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, oh God. Thank you for his shed blood, O God, that washed away our sins, O God. We thank you for the sacrifice, O God. We thank you, God, for watching over us and keeping us, O God. We thank you, God, for the body of Christ today, O God. Many members, but one body. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of people, Lord. We thank you tonight for salvation, Lord God. Father, we thank you, God, for all that you're doing. We know even what's going on in this world, in this culture, God. We know that you are in control because you are a sovereign God. None of these things that are happening are by surprise, oh God. But, God, you have a purpose in it all. So, Father, we just say thank you. Father, I ask today, oh God, I lift up the prayers of those who have sick family members, oh God, that may be in hospitals or in homes, maybe on quarantine, Lord God. We thank you for those who may be in hospice and in nursing homes, oh God. We ask that you would comfort them, oh God. Comfort their hearts, oh God. Comfort their families, oh God, as they continue to pray for their loved ones, oh God, who may be bed-stricken. Father, we pray for those in prison, God, today, oh God. That God, that they allow that circumstance and the things that they go through, God, that someone will speak the gospel to them, that their souls will be saved, oh God. Father, we pray, oh God, today for the children today, oh God. Even in the midst of what's going on with schools and education, God, protect the children, God. We ask your covering over their lives, over their innocent lives, Lord God. Father, we pray for parents today that are struggling with decisions, oh God, with anxiety, Lord God. We're praying, God, for husbands and wives today, oh God. That the stress of family, the stress of administering our family lives, oh God, that we would just seek you for wisdom, guidance, and direction in all things. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue, God, to bless this country, God. We pray for leaders, God, all the way from the president, God, to the county executive, to the school teacher, to the police officer, God, to the garbage collector, Lord God. We pray for them all, God, in this season, in this time, God. We pray for wisdom and discernment, God. We pray today, oh God, that you, oh God, will keep this country, oh God, that, God, you would move and change the direction, change the course, change hearts, change minds, God. But yet, God, we ask that your church, God, would stand and be salt and light in the midst of the chaos, Lord God. So draw us closer to you, Lord God, and we just say thank you. We honor you. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. 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 Well, tonight we're talking about, this is an ongoing episode. I brought in a guest tonight, and first let me introduce my guest. It's Pastor Dr. Joseph Powell. He's the senior pastor of Covenant Lifehouse Ministries in Glen Burnie, Maryland. He's going to be joining us tonight and sharing his insights on our topic. Our topic is going to be anger in marriage. We just want to touch on it. We want to be able to, hopefully we can give some solutions, some encouragement, and try to be proactive, to try and deal with it, just to give some encouragement and some advice on how do we deal with anger and management. Because with the things that are going on today, again, these are the things that the enemy uses to try and separate a husband and wife from each other, trying to divide the couple, trying to get enmity between your spouses. And it starts small, but also it can escalate into big things. And some of it is we just have to recognize that it is the enemy, that our spouse is not, and our spouse is not the enemy, but it's the enemy that's trying to destroy our marriage relationships. Amen? Pastor Paul, good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you this evening?
All right, sir. I'm doing wonderful. First, let me thank you for taking time out of your schedule and joining us tonight, and do appreciate you. Well, I'm going to come back to you later, get your church information and share with the audience. But we're going to jump right in tonight. And again, tonight we want to talk about anger in marriage. And it's a big thing and a small thing, because I think, believe anger starts, there's different levels of it, but how it can affect the marriage and start to break down that relationship if it's not dealt with. Well, let me begin by just asking you, just as Christian men, as in our character, in the shaping and forming of our character, and who we are as men of God, you know, what does the Bible teach about anger? What do you say, sir?
Okay, it's a good topic. Well, two good topics put together with marriage and anger, and putting those two together is a dynamite conversation, because there is anger in marriage. But what the Bible teaches us about anger, it has lots of scriptures about anger. If you looked up on your computer or in your concordance, looked up anger, you would get like a lot of scriptures pop up. For instance, Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." So the Bible says a lot about anger, including some scriptures we're going to talk about later on.
Hello, Eric. Amen. And Kristen.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you. Who's this?
This is Ms. Powell.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you was on the line, Sister Powell. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you doing?
I did not mean to do this.
Okay,
I am so sorry.
Okay. Okay,
good night.
That old-fashioned party line there. Okay, I got you. Amen.
I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, how are you, sister? How are you?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I just can't disconnect the first lady. I gotta be honored to do. So there's a reason God sent you. So
if the first lady could turn red right now, she would.
But, oh my. Okay.
All righty. God bless you and your listeners, and I'm hanging up.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Amen. All right.
Yeah, we normally we have a call-in on Thursday. Since we're not meeting face-to-face, we still do our counseling. And Thursday night, we usually do our counseling.
Oh, okay. All right. That's okay. That means she's faithful to the thing. And you see, that I think it's you, Pastor. You remind her that you changed the schedule. So
right.
I let you take that bullet.
Okay.
Amen, 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 amen. There you go. This is live, ladies and gentlemen. It's Christian Men Talking. We're live here every Thursday at 8 p.m. and every Monday at 8 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And this is what it is. This is what marriage is. Marriage is live. Marriage is, it's just momentary things just happen and you have to respond to them. It keeps you on your toes.
And I promise.
Good marriage keeps you on your toes.
I promise I won't get angry.
There you go. It's okay. It's all right. That's good. See, we got to live that thing out. See, that was a test right there, Pastor. That was a test.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Well, you know, anger, there's a lot of different anger. First, I want to get your thoughts on this, because anger, it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. You know, there's people who have short fuses. There's people who have long fuses, and then there's people who their anger is bottled up, and they just hold grudges. And
right.
So we're going to talk about those three different things. The first one, when we talk about a short fuse, this is the kind of anger where if something doesn't go your way or something happens, it immediately explodes into it. It just goes off the wall. And I think that's one of the ones that some of us have experienced or know someone who, if something doesn't go their way right away, it's a major drama production. They just go all the way off in a split second. And sometimes in our homes, this happens from either spouse. And when that happens, first of all, we have to be able to recognize it. And hopefully tonight we can encourage you in a way that you can recognize where you are in these different types of anger. So when we talk about this, the short fuse person, Pastor, what do you think let's talk about the spouse. What advice would you give a spouse on how they should try to respond to that? If they see it as a pattern. And I think that's the thing, we have to also see it as a pattern, the person has a short fuse. What do you say, sir?
Right, and that's the first thing we have to do. We have to recognize that in our spouse, whether it's a short fuse or long fuse, we have to recognize it. And some things, whether a person has a short fuse or long fuse, is because of something that's unresolved within them or something from their past that triggers it. But it's important to diffuse it, and there's biblical ways that you can do it. Bible says, talks about a smart answer or a short answer will kind of deflect it, and I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but angry words are just stir up more wrath. So there's ways that we can diffuse it, but it's important that, especially if you have a good relationship with your spouse, it's important that you try to tell them about it first.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I think that's what it is, too. I think it's something you said there. If there's something else that's underlying issues that we have to deal with as men, as husbands, as people, the things that we have lived through, experienced, and we're not really been resolved, that gets us to that point. And that's where we have to recognize also. And I know that you do counseling because I know you and know your wife and your ministry, and you do counseling. So in the midst of, when we're doing counseling, I think this is one of, I don't know if this is one of the things that you're trying to dwell into the couple and see what their personality is and how they handle difficulties and handle, at their anger when things don't go their way. Because basically, I understand anger as it's really, it's about pride. It's about you not getting your way and how you respond to that or when things don't go your way. And I think that's one of the biggest things. So when you're talking to couples, how do you examine and try to see where they are emotionally and see what kind of underlying issues they might not be dealing with? Because, when we're dating, I'm on my best behavior when we're dating.
Right. And I encounter that all the time. And when we do our premarital counseling sessions with couples who are going to get married, we talk about anger, and we say that's one of the red flags that you have to look for. Because when you're dating, everybody's on their best behavior. Even if that other person blew up or you have arguments, you're still on your best behavior. But we try to teach them to look for certain red flags, something that's a pattern. And whether it's a premarital couple or a couple who's been married for a while, anger is one of those big issues that come up. And you had asked me earlier about diffusing whether somebody has a short temper or long fuse or whatever, but you have to deal realistically with the roots of your anger. So you have to express honestly the effects of anger, because there's always effects of anger either on your spouse or the rest of the family. So you have to deal, it's something you have to deal patiently with, and anger in yourself and then the anger in other people.
Okay.
And of course, when a spouse has anger issues in a marriage, it's often taken out on the other person, and it leaves that person frustrated, dejected, and even sometimes makes that person angry.
Amen. Yeah, I agree, and that's where I think it becomes a vicious circle. And again, we're speaking about tonight anger and husbands because, again, I understand because let me say this. I don't want to really come off as that these are things that every man doesn't struggle with or deal with in our marriages. But we have to, as men, as husbands, we have to recognize where we are and how the things that we do, how it affects the rest of our families, that ripple effect. Like you said, our anger, for whatever reason, is going to ripple through the rest of our family, through how our wife feels in the home, how our children feel, and it's going to affect it all. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, some of the things that we do that we have are problems because of how we were raised in the homes we were raised in, if we're honest with ourselves, and how we and how our personalities were developed. And I want to say this inside the church and outside the church. But tonight, we know in the church, we have a solution. We have the power of God. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have the Word of God that will frame and guide and set the measuring stick in our lives, that we would apply the word to our lives. And I think that's what I wanted to first to be emphasized on for all the brothers out there that may be listening, or even to encourage the wives whose husbands, you know, make them feel a certain way when they just explode, when their fuse is lit, and it just escalates into a bad place. I mean, you said a red flag. We have to start to understand those red flags and get to that. But let me ask you this: when does anger? Because the Bible says about be angry and sin not. Then that's a big one. What do you say, sir, about turning into sin? When
okay,
it becomes
good.
Sinful?
Yeah, from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, 26 through 27, where it first says, be angry and don't sin. Well, let me say this first. Anger by itself is not a sin, but it's only one letter away from danger. So it's a natural human emotion, and it's not bad by itself, because the problem occurs when we don't deal correctly with anger when we feel it, or it's what we do with it. That's what I'm trying to say, what we do with anger, because anger can make us act out. That's when it leads to sin. It can make you do things or say things that you really didn't intend to say. And in some men, or some people, I should say, it leads to physical violence. So that's why anger is one letter short of danger. So it depends on what you do with your anger and how you relate to it. And that scripture that be angry and sin not, what it's virtually telling us, it's not telling us not to get angry. It's saying don't let it lead to the next phase. And you said it earlier, it's anger becomes sinful when it's motivated by pride. I want my way. I want my way now, and I want my way how I want it. So that's when it leads to sin, because that's pride then. But if you think about it, if God said in Psalms 103:2, I believe it is, that he heals all of our diseases, then he can certainly heal our anger issues. You just have to let go of the pride, take it to God, and say, I have a problem with anger.
Amen, amen. And, you know, one of the other things, too, when we look at anger, like you said, being angry is not necessarily a sin, because we can get angry. We can get angry about different things. I mean, being, you know, indignant of injustice, things that are not going well. That's a different
right.
kind of anger than the striking out. We can be angry about the circumstances, even when we are unfairly, unjustly treated, or we've done wrong by someone, that kind of anger. But when it goes to the part where it produces unproductive or it distorts God's purpose for our life, because we're called to love our enemies. So when your anger gets you away from showing biblical love, or, you know, the love that God's called us to be as believers, I think that's one of the things we have to recognize. When we get away from that, from where we're showing love in the midst of all circumstances, and especially in marriage, you know, because,
right.
you know, our spouses, we have to remember who our spouses are and who we are. Because we have, and I think some of it is just having expectations that may be like, I don't want to say unnatural, but greater expectations of people, and when they don't meet our expectations. I'm trying to think of the word, I just lost it. But, you know, when people fall short of our expectations, and then that anger, we're upset because, you know, people don't live up to our expectation for them. And now we get angry because again, I think it goes back to you're not doing what I want you to do, or be who I want you to be, or you know what I'm saying. And I think that we have to watch ourselves for that, because that's where now we strike out at the person. It's not really something that we're angry about. We're turning our anger on that person, and like you say, that's where the danger is, because now it's not like a specific issue. It's just our unmet expectations, and now. We don't know how to, and when in marriage, that can happen a lot. because of the complexes and the certain and things that we do together as a couple, in a marriage, in a family. You know, we have, you know, we may have great plans and visions, but when stuff don't go, that's where I think we have to watch ourselves as married men, and as a couple, even for our spouses when they get angry, we have to be able to see that what we're really angry about. And I think that's one of the things we have to be careful, that we are not seeking to punish our spouse or punish the person. And that's where, like, I like what you said about that, is one led away from danger, because that's where we strike out. And I think that comes back to us not having that skill or maturity or a combination of skill to deal with our emotions or the maturity to deal with our emotions. And I think that's what we have to be careful about, and that's where I think the Word of God comes in to be able to help us to recognize that thing.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this. Now, when we're talking about anger, when we talk about relationships, what things, because as always here at Issue Christian Talk, I want to be able to at least leave a little seed of some things we can do to try and solve these issues and try to resolve them, and strategies that as a couple, what are some of the things that you think that you could give advice about how we can start to address it? If we're in a marriage, in a relationship, and anger is an issue with one of the spouses, what is some of the strategy that you think that we can go to that would try and start the process to resolve it and move forward to make it better in the long run? What do you say?
Okay. Okay, I wanted to, before I answer that, I want to touch on something that you had said. When I said earlier that anger is a natural human emotion, and then you were saying about righteous indignation or something like that, and that is true. That is the kind of anger that's okay, as long as it doesn't go into sin, because Jesus had righteous anger or righteous indignation. In Matthew's 21st chapter, the Bible clearly says he got angry and drove the money lenders out of the temple. So we can get angry at things, and you mentioned some of them: child abuse, pornography, racism, or being upset over the black people, how black people are being killed in America. Those are things of righteous indignation or righteous anger. But what you're saying in marriage, and some things that there are tools that we can cope with it. You can try to get your spouse to calm down and just take it easy, because the scripture I said earlier, and I kind of messed it up, was from Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If your spouse gets angry and you get angry, both of you are going to be angry. And it's not going to calm down easily when you're both angry. So, and you said something else too that was very true. If a man is listening and he gets angry, don't think that you're bad or you're wrong or God is going to toss you away. Because, like I just said, it's a natural emotion. It's how you deal with it and what you do out of it. And that same scripture we had talked about earlier about Ephesians, that's one of the paramount scriptures, Ephesians 4:26-27. First part says, be angry and do not sin. And the rest says, do not let your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So you sit down with your spouse and say, you know, I really don't want to argue about this. I don't want to talk about it right now. But you don't just have it lingering. So there's some of the, I'll give three quick tools without going into a lot of detail. Three quick tools that we can do. You can see the other person walking in your shoes, or get that person to walk in your shoes. Because a lot of times when we men get angry, since we're dealing with men, our voices are are have more authority in it. We have more bass in our voice, and it can threaten our spouse or our children. So you have to kind of like, okay, I'm just going to take it down a notch. And you can still say what you want without the yelling or beating your chest or whatever you want to call it. That'll take things down a notch. And if you, the spouse on the receiving end, you have to be the one who speak those soft words at that time. Because, like I said, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word is going to stir up anger every time. And after a while, you can notice when your spouse is going to get angry, and you can really say, okay, I can see you're getting angry. I don't want to talk to you in this state. When you calm down, we can. So I think I gave you three different tools in there. I may have to come back and sum them up, but it was like three different things you can do.
Amen, amen. And you know, and in that, but I appreciate what you're sharing there, because that's the other thing too. When they talk here, issue switching this talk, we need to get the tools in place where we are doing the maintenance in our marriages. We are being honest, we're being transparent, and we're seeking to improve our marriages. No matter how long you've been married, if it's 6 months, 6 years, 25 years, 40 years, you know, but we have to be on purpose about putting some tools in place so when these things come, you know, I, for young people, I just encourage you, again, it's premarital counseling, there's a connection, first let me say this, we have to always, as Christian husbands, we have to always, always ensure our salvation, ensure our relationship with Christ, and draw closer to Him, because only with the best, well, I'll say it, anyway, we can be the husband, the man that God wants us to be, is that if we are born again and we're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So from that, amen. So with
amen.
That, we have to have the Word of God. We have to use what God has put in us, just because of who we are now, who we claim to be. We're confessed believers in Christ. So we have. The Holy Spirit living within us. We just have to start to be obedient to it. We have to. So one thing I'm going to come back to you, Pastor, on what your thoughts it is. It's something I've learned. We have to really lean on the church, because the other thing that we deal with marriage is we are not transparent. You know, I'll say that because I've been in the church a couple of years. I've been married, you know, if it seems like forever. No, I'm just kidding. My wife's not listening. But, you know, it seems like a lot of things that we go through in marriage that we're not being transparent and we don't seek the help. We don't seek the help. Some people don't like help, but I say seek the support of the body of Christ and seek the wisdom of pastors and mature couples, that our marriages don't get to that point, because you are going to be challenged. And you're going to get angry. You're going to be challenged as you grow together as a couple. But seek the body of Christ, seek the church, and in prayer. So there's many. I think it's multifaceted, because I had to learn this
right.
For myself. For those who know me, my testimony is I didn't come to Christ until we were already married 14, 15 years, and in that we had to change some things around, and just to come into the knowledge of God, we did start doing things differently. But, Pastor, what do you say to that? The importance of, first, the transparency, and secondly, having a support system. That's what I'm searching for terms here. But having a biblical support system for your marriage. What do you say, sir?
Right, and I'll answer that last question first and then come back to the transparency. When we counsel couples, and again, whether that's couples who've been married for a few years or premarital couples, we always tell them you need a more mature couple who can mentor you or you can go to and talk to. And you don't have to tell them all your business, but it has to be somebody that you can be real and transparent with. And I always tell young people, don't go get another young couple. If you're just getting married, don't go get a couple who's been married for a year. They can tell you some things, but you need somebody who's been through something. And that's where the importance of God comes in. And we always tell them, try to make sure it's a godly couple. Because when you think about it, God created marriage. Marriage is the first institution that God created. Before government, before schools, any other institution, it was marriage that he created. So every marriage should be a three-sided marriage with God on one side of the marriage. Because he created marriage, and it's his blueprint for marriage that we need to follow. And with his blueprint, with him as a head, now I'm not saying you're not going to have any issues, you're not going to have any problem, because I'll be the first to admit that my wife and I go through issues. We go through problems, but we have Jesus as the center of our marriage. That helps. And there's one thing that my wife always reminds me of, something that we learned in a marriage ministry that we work along with, is I'm not your enemy. Yes, that settles me down. She tells me, when I start raising my voice or whatever, she'll say, I'm not your enemy. I'm your partner. I'm not your enemy. So we as men have to remember that woman sitting across from you is not your enemy. She's your partner. I can tell you she loves you more than anyone else except for God and maybe your mom. But she's not your enemy, so you have to be transparent with them. And once we're transparent, that scripture from Ephesians where it talks about where the devil won't use something against you, when you're transparent with someone, the devil can't use it then, because I related to my wife why I'm feeling angry, so the devil can't use that against me. Or I can say, I'm angry at you because of this. The devil can't use it. And truth be told, we get angry at God, too. You said something earlier about expectations, not meeting expectations. We get angry with God, too, because he hasn't met our expectations of what we think he should be doing.
Oh, really? Oh, we angry with God. We're going to tell God really, really fast. Wow. We angry at God because he ain't doing what I said. That right there. Yeah, you can preach that thing, because that, first of all, I don't even see how you could say that. Amen, amen.
That'll
it's
preach.
I'm mad at God because God, that'll preach right there. Amen, amen. But amen, amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're talking about saving marriage one marriage at a time. And tonight we're talking about the topic of anger in marriage. My guest tonight is Pastor Joseph Powell, Senior Pastor at Covenant Lifehouse Ministries in Glen Burnie, Maryland. You can reach the pastor. Pastor, you have your where people can reach out to you or call you. And well, I know the churches are we on different things with the churches, but how can people reach out to you if they want to talk to you?
Okay. I give them my the church email where they can reach me is – all of this is one word. It's kind of long, but it's one word. It's Covenant, Covenant, Lifehouse, Lifehouse, at Verizon.net. Covenant Lifehouse at Verizon.net. And that email comes directly to me. Or you can go to our Facebook page or our website and find us. And that email address is on there also.
Amen, amen.
But our church telephone number is 410-590-2158.
Amen, amen. Well, that'll also be on our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. I'll have the link there for their website and everything there. Now you can reach out and get in touch with Pastor Powell. And if you need encouragement, need prayer, or even you're on Facebook Live on your Sunday services, so you can catch a pre-sermon from him, and then hopefully a word will be able to speak into your life and encourage you. Well, Pastor, we're gonna go to the lightning fire round now. I'm gonna ask you some things, and you give me your thoughts about it as it relates to marriage before we close out here tonight. Again, I do want to appreciate you and thank you for taking time out and being part of this tonight. And hopefully, excuse me, a word was spoken that encouraged someone, that some couple, that they can be encouraged, that they would seek the counsel, the wise counsel. They would seek God in prayer and then start to make the changes and make the adjustments in marriage, that their marriage can be, they can live together and be fruitful in their marriage and their relationship and grow together. Amen? Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. Okay, so seeking to live together with understanding. What do you say about that, sir? How important is that?
That's extremely important because if you look at it, and this is a no-brainer, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's one of those duh things. Men and women mm-hmm. are different. God created us different as a male and female. We think differently. There's a saying or a book out, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or vice versa. That means we think differently. You can ask us about an issue. Males tend to give more shorter answers than female. So it's important that, what I'm trying to say, it's important that we don't let those differences tear us apart. Those differences actually bring us together. There's my wife has some strengths that I don't have. And God brought us together that she can amplify those things that are strong in me or help with those things that I'm weak in. So, yeah, it's very important that we see those things in each other.
Amen, amen. And I add to that, that living together, the longer you're together, the more you should learn about each other. Because it's something that I learned, well, now me and Pastor, we've been on marriage retreats before, and it's something that is said there, that the person you marry is not the person you're going to be with your whole life. That we're both going to change, to mature.
Amen.
Everything, we're going to change. So the young man you married, hang in there, because they're going to change. And they're going to change rapidly, slowly. If it's 5 years, because anyone who can stand, look at their marriage, the person you married is not the person you are today. And hopefully they've not, because we're all going to mature. We're going to start to see things differently. We're going to respond differently to things. And hopefully we're growing closer together. Amen? Because I know young people
right.
get married and they think they're inseparable and it's never going to, but it is going to.
Right.
Say that.
You said a lot right there, because a lot of times – we think, just like you said, the person that young girl we married, we think she's going to be that always. But if she doesn't change, something's wrong, because God is always
yeah.
looking for us to change. You have kids, if your son was acting now like he did at 2 months old, you would say something is wrong. So you always look
yeah.
for change. You look for growth. You look for maturing. Same applies in marriage. And the stage that my wife and I are in marriage right now, we've never been at that stage or that season before. So we're still discovering each other. The problem comes in is when we give up trying, or we think we know everything about that other person, and we give up trying to learn that person. So it's always learning. It's always trying to see what's going on with your spouse.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, that was a shortcut to my next one. Helping each other grow. How important is that? And how do we that's something we need to consider. Helping each other grow.
Right. That's another extremely important one. I believe that God brings us together for a reason. And when he brings a man and a woman together, it's for a reason. And the illustration I always show premarital couples, I know you can't see it now, but if you take your left hand and your right hand and you intertwine them, if your right hand is going to fill all the gaps in your left hand. That's what marriage is. It fills all the gaps that you can't do. Your spouse helps you with your weak points. It helps you to grow in those weak points, those weak areas, and you learn to lean on each other. So in marriage, you're always learning each other. You're always helping them with their weakness And if they have a strong point, you're magnifying or edifying their strong point. So it's a two-way street. You're always helping. And when you get to the point that you're tearing down your spouse, that's when something is really wrong. And let me say here, I have to be transparent. We talked about that earlier. Sometimes it gets on my nerve when my wife tells me the truth. But she's, I know she's not my enemy. She's saying something to help me.
Pastor, that's a word every husband out there should hear. And that's where we talk about, that we are a team. It's you and your wife, and you're a team, and there's everybody else. And for some brothers, you have to understand that. And you said it previously. You know, God put us together for a reason. You know, we might have thought we picked it. We might have thought, you know, I had a wonderful rap, and I had it all together, and I got her, and she can't do without me. But it was God. And then there's a reason God put us together, you know. And as men of God, as Christian men, you know, there's a reason. And that's what we have to stay focused, that there's a purpose and a reason. And it's also, let me interject this. In times of stress, because we're talking about anger tonight, there's also a reason that together God takes us through some things, that it might draw us closer together and not divide us. And I think anger is one of the tools the enemy uses when the trials, temptations, or whatever it is comes into our marriage. The enemy goes, well, if I get one of them angry, they'll never hear each other, and they'll never resolve it, and they'll never overcome this thing. You know, that just came to me, Pastor, and I was just thinking about
that. That's good right there.
Yeah, I'm shocked my own self. But but again, that's why we ought to draw together. That's why, as a couple, because that came to me because of what you said, that God has a purpose for our marriages, and we, as husbands and even wives, we have to realize that as Christians. Now, as Christians, that's why, and you previously in the beginning, I wanted to say we have to know that we're saved, and we know that who we are in Christ Jesus. And know that God has died for us, and we believe, and we are disciples of Christ. Now, from that, now we know that God is in control, and God has a purpose for us. And I think that's the thing that motivates me, and to that got to the point where, you know, we have to work on our marriage, because our marriage is just not about us.
Right.
And when we talk here about we have to grow, we have to help each other grow. In the things of God, in the spiritual, emotionally, you know, for young couples out there that might be listening, you know, you're going to go through some things together. You're going to lose parents, you know, you're going to lose family members, you know, but you're going to have to draw, you know, because some people are closer to their parents than others, and there's grandmas, there's a lot that's going to happen that you're going to have to be there for each other. And I say that from experience, and I say that
Amen.
This is why we have to do our homework, we have to do our maintenance, because these life things are going to happen, and again, these are the things that the enemy can use, because we haven't done what's the thing I want to say, the preventive maintenance. That's it. That's the word I want to use. We
right.
have prevented the maintenance, because life is coming.
That's a good
and
word too, because. That's a good word,
Go
too.
Ahead.
Sorry to cut across. That's a good word, too, because when my wife and I encourage couples to go to that the National Marriage Conference or ministry we belong to, and we encourage couples to go to that national conference, the first thing couples usually tell us, my marriage is fine, or my marriage is good. And our comeback is, okay, it's good, but don't you want it to be great? And it's like your car. You may have one of the newer cars, a 2019 or a 2020 model, if they're out yet. So it might be right off the showroom floor, and you don't need to do any maintenance to it because computers take care of everything, but you're eventually going to have to change the oil. So every now and then, a car needs an oil change, and some cars need a tune-up. Same thing with your marriage. It needs a tune-up. It needs an oil change to keep it running smoothly, because anything that's neglected is eventually going to break down and tear down. So you need to. We need to do the work. I'll tell anyone, marriage is hard work. Marriage requires hard work, and is not something for the faint of heart. You're always working at it. You're always growing. So, and when you make the commitment, I'm committed, I'm dedicated, I'm in it for a lifetime, that's when you do the hard work, because you don't have that easy out.
Amen. Amen. And that's it. And again, all those that are listening, you know, this is Issues Christian Men's Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Pastor Joseph Powell, Senior Pastor of Covenant Lighthouse Ministries. And we're talking about marriage. We're talking about anger in marriage. And now we're in that part. If you just tuned in or called in, we always want to give solutions and encouragement, even in the midst of, because whatever you're going through right now, it's not going to always be like this. Let me say that and encourage those who may be listening.
Yep.
But you have to do the work and put the work in. That's the best advice I could ever give. Prayer, seek God, seek to be obedient to the word, and start and you have to change the atmosphere and the temperature in your homes and in your marriage to get to where you want. Set a destination, have a vision. I don't want to do a whole marriage ministry thing here, but there's some things that you have to have in place and you need to have in place. So I just wanted to encourage anyone, all those that are listening, all those who called in at 646-668-2636 and listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Pastor, this is the final question for lightning round.
Okay.
Choose love. Choose love. What do you say, sir?
Yep. Always choose love. There was a song back in the 60s or 70s, something like that, that says, what the world needs right now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's not enough of, or something like that. God
yes.
is love. So since God Amen. Is love, everything revolves around love. And it's important that we know what love really means. Because if you look at any kind of TV, any kind of movie, they just freely throw that word love out there. You see, movie stars, actors, or whatever, when they're receiving an award, I love you. You don't even know me. How are you going to love me? So we have to know really what love is, because there's a whole chapter in the Bible, well, lots of things on love, but one particular chapter in Corinthians called the love chapter. It tells you what love is, and it says things like love is patient. Love does not seek its own way. And paraphrasing this, love is about the other person, not about you. So, yeah, everything centers around love. And once we get the real meaning of love, whether in our marriage or in the world, a lot of troubles that we have will disappear. Love for our brother, love for our spouse, love for other races, things would disappear if we really understood the word love.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Again, Pastor, I just want to thank you for taking this time out again, your schedule, and being here and sharing your wisdom, sharing the words, and the words of encouragement for the brothers out there listening and tuned in. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. If anyone on the line, I'll take a few minutes here before we go. Anyone who called in, we see you here on the switchboard. If you have a question or comment or just want to share, press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. I wasn't monitoring Facebook. Let me go real quick, because people might be sent me something over there, but I don't see nothing. But amen. But I do appreciate all those who have listened and took part with me. Hopefully, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to this program. You can send it to someone. You can listen to it again and take notes and encourage it, or let your spouse listen to it, and it'll be a conversation icebreaker to start to deal with issue of anger or the issues or any of the things we talked about tonight about our marriages, and start again. I encourage every man out there, first of all, let me say this, never, never, never give up. God, there's an answer in God. There's an answer in God. I don't care where your marriage is. There's truly an answer in God. But first, you have to be a born-again believer. And even in your wife, is your wife a born-again believer? You know, I remember this along with one of the men's ministry a couple of years back that was in a conversation amongst brothers, and the speaker at the time, brother asked a question. The brother asked a question about his marriage at the time. It was traumatizing. But the pastor asked the man, is your wife saved? And at first, you know, everybody in the church, you know, church folk, you know, but the answer the brother gave, his answer was not yes. His answer was, well, yeah, she's a this and she's a that. And the pastor asked him again, but is your wife saved? Well, yeah, she does this, and she's doing this, and she's the usher. You know, and it was funny. I looked back on it because, you know, I thought about it. The pastor asked him three times, the same way Jesus asked Peter three times to feed my sheep. And still, the brother didn't just say yes. He gave a lot of what she was, but not, yes, she's saved. And I think as husbands, it begins there. Where are we, and where is our spouse? And that can begin your whole prayer life right there. I just want to encourage everyone in that, because I remember that's one of the things that stuck out to me. It was a room full of brothers, and the man couldn't just say, yes, my wife is saved. And that stuck with me. But amen. Well, Pastor, I'm going to give you got the closing statements, and you can close us out in prayer. And again, I appreciate you for being on tonight and sharing. And I give you next quarter. We'll come back and try a rendezvous again, and we'll talk about something else. Hopefully, I get with your secretary and your people, my people, your people, and we'll get something together. Amen.
Okay, thank you, brother, for having me on this evening. I appreciate being your guest. That time always goes by real quick. But again, thank you for having me on. I pray that our discussion helped a brother out tonight, or helped someone who's listening out tonight, because it's not about us. And I know your program, you're here to help brothers to see that they're not perfect, but God is perfect. And that's who we're trying to emulate or be like. So thank you again for having me on. I appreciate you, brother. And so I guess you wanted me to close out too.
Dear Lord, sir, you can close out in prayer.
Okay. Dear Lord, I pray right now for this opportunity that you have given me to speak life into the hearers on this evening. Our topic was anger and a subtopic of marriage, Lord. I pray right now for the angry husband or the angry wife. Please calm his or her heart today, Lord. Allow them to know your peace and give them a gentle and compassionate spirit for their spouse. I pray against the spirit of wrath that he or she may be operating in, and ask that you would replace all of their anger with your unfailing love. You say in your word that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So I ask that you would teach him or her how to pursue your righteousness on a daily basis. We're not perfect, Lord, but we don't want to use that as a crutch, because in you we are made perfect. Thank you for the man or the woman who's listening. I thank you for breathing life into Deacon Farr and myself just with our conversation. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.